She didn't just seduce men, she destroyed them. With a fake name, flawless lighting, and promises whispered through a webcam, she built a business out of shame. They thought they were engaging in secrets, but every moan, every confession, every slip of the tongue, it was all captured. One by one, they paid up. Some lost marriages, others lost careers. One even vanished, but she didn't care. The more power she took, the more untouchable she felt. Until one victim didn't follow the script. He didn't beg, he didn't pay, he disappeared. And weeks later, a video surfaced, her video, on the dark web, edited, twisted, weaponized. Her face was now the one on display, her identity exposed, her past rewritten. But who was he really? And why did she feel like she was being watched now? This isn't just a game of sex and shame. It's a deadly chess match between predator and prey, where the roles aren't as clear as they seem. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The setup. Ava Bellerose was a myth whispered between frat boys and finance bros. A rumour passed through forums and encrypted group chats like a seductive ghost, equal parts fantasy and warning. But Ava wasn't a myth. She was a highly intelligent, manipulative predator who built her empire behind a screen and 1,000 fake names. To the outside world, Ava lived in a sleek downtown condo, the kind with floor-to-ceiling windows and minimalist furniture that looked like no one ever really lived there. She wore neutrals, drove a leased Audi, smiled in elevators but never made eye contact. She worked in freelance digital marketing, which meant no one asked questions. But behind a locked cabinet in her closet were encrypted hard drives labelled with the initials of her victims. There were over 75, each one marked with a date, a dollar amount, and whether they'd complied, it always started the same. Ava created a new identity, a carefully constructed persona crafted to target a specific type of man. Older, successful, married. She'd scour LinkedIn, social media, and dark web dossiers once she found the right pressure. Points, religious guilt, ambition, loneliness, she'd begin. This time, it was a man named Lucas Grant, 42, divorced, CFO at a renewable energy startup in Atlanta. A quiet Instagram filled with pictures of his dog, his gym routine, and motivational quotes about perseverance. His company had just closed a $14 million Series B funding round. Ava knew he was flush and vulnerable. She posed as Riley, a 28-year-old marketing consultant, just moved to town, looking to meet people outside of work. Flirty, but not desperate. Curious, but not too forward. Their first video call was 3 days after their first message. Ava always staged her calls with surgical precision, soft lighting, a silk robe, a glass of wine she never drank. She kept her real face off camera just enough to keep him intrigued. By the end of the second week, Lucas had sent her 3 shirtless selfies and 1 extremely compromising video. The next morning, he received a Dropbox link with a chilling note. You have 48 hours to wire $25,000, or this video goes to every contact on your LinkedIn. Think carefully. Lucas didn't respond, which wasn't unusual. Some men panicked, some threatened her, some tried to reverse the blackmail, but eventually they paid. Ava rarely had to escalate, except Lucas didn't pay. At 72 hours, she sent a preview clip to his personal email, just enough to show she was serious. She tracked the IP, it had been opened in his office, then nothing. At 96 hours, she prepared to send it to his company's board of directors, but before she could, she received an unexpected notification. Lucas Grant was dead. a boating accident off the coast of Sarasota, news outlets said he had rented a solo charter to clear his mind. High winds capsized the vessel. Coast Guard said they found wreckage, a life jacket, but no body, presumed drowned. The obituary was everywhere. His company issued a statement. Friends posted tributes. His dog went to his sister. Ava stared at the screen for nearly an hour. Lips slightly parted. She'd never driven a man to suicide, or so she thought. She deleted his folder, half out of guilt, half out of fear, just in case. But 2 weeks later, a strange email landed in her anonymous inbox. You look best in red, don't you think? L. No attachments. No threats. Just the letter L. She froze. She hadn't worn red during their calls, not visibly, unless he had watched her too. She checked her own software. Her laptop's camera was secure. She scanned her firewall logs. No breaches. But something didn't feel right. For the first time since she'd started this game, she felt vulnerable. Then came the second message. The game isn't over, Ava. You're just not the only one playing anymore. She changed her passwords, burned the old SIM, switched VPNs. But it didn't matter. The messages kept coming, each one more personal than the last. You cry in your sleep sometimes. You take melatonin, not Ambien. You flinch when you see your father's name. Ava hadn't spoken to her father in 9 years. This was more than revenge. It was intimate. Surgical. She ran searches on Lucas Grant. Nothing new. Still listed as dead. But something was off about the photos used in the news reports. They were old. Cropped. She reverse image searched one and found the original post. But it wasn't from Lucas. It was from Leonard Gray, a freelance software engineer from Arizona. An alias, or maybe the real name. She couldn't be sure. The profiles had vanished days after his death. He had faked it. Somehow, Lucas, or Leonard, had faked his death. And now, he was coming for her. She tried to step back, tried to freeze all operations. But when she opened her encrypted hard drives, 3 were gone. Files wiped. Only 1 remained. AB, her own initials. She yanked the drive and ran to her second laptop, plugged it in. Inside was a full recording, but not of her victims. It was her, fully visible, speaking, smiling, recording her threats, naming dollar amounts. It was edited together like a documentary, with timestamps, evidence, even screen captures of her crypto wallets. Ava backed away from the screen. This wasn't just blackmail. This was a full dossier. Someone had flipped her game completely, and they were preparing to expose her. She tried calling the one person who knew her real name, Nico, a hacker in Berlin who helped her launder payments, but his number was dead. Ava realized with a slow, creeping terror, this wasn't a one-man operation. Someone had been studying her, infiltrating her system, watching her seduce, manipulate, ruin. And now they were flipping the story. A story where she was the villain. And the villain was about to be revealed. She walked to the window, looked out over the city. For the first time in years, she felt trapped, but not by a man. By the ghost of a man she thought she'd destroyed, and he was just getting started. Chapter 2. The climax. Ava didn't run, she evolved. That's how she'd survived for so long. When systems failed or victims pushed back, she adapted faster than they could retaliate. But this was different. This wasn't some finance bro scrambling to save his marriage. This was someone playing the long game, someone willing to fake a death, destroy his own identity, and quietly rewrite hers. The first real sign of invasion came when she entered her password and was locked out of every account. Not one, all of them, crypto wallets, burner emails, file lockers, all inaccessible, and then her phone buzzed. It was a FaceTime request, blocked number, but the preview image made her heart stop. It was her, half naked, camera in hand, that smile she gave just before issuing a threat. She declined the call. 3 seconds later, a video appeared in her Telegram account. She opened it. A glitchy montage. Ava's face. Ava's voice. Ava saying, "If you don't want your wife to see this, wire me the money. We both know you can afford it." Then silence. Then his face. Lucas, or Leonard, or whatever his real name was, appeared for 1 full second. He looked directly into the camera and said, "Now, let's play your game." The video was titled "The Sextortionist Episode 1. She felt her chest tighten. This wasn't just a threat. It was a production. He was turning her crimes into content. And then she saw it. The watermark at the corner of the video. Red Light Chronicles. Onion, a dark web docuseries site. Infamous for untraceable exposés. Ava had heard of it. No names. Just faces. No takedowns. No remorse. Just raw, brutal truth, the kind that ruins lives in hours. She grabbed her laptop, searched the site. Nothing showed on the surface web. She opened Tor, entered the address, and there it was. Red Light Chronicles, exclusive premiere, episode 1, The Queen of Blackmail, coming soon. A photo of Ava's face faded in and out like a glitching reel. Below, a counter ticking down from 48 hours. She had 2 days. She tried her usual connections, Nico, dark net fixers, laundering contacts, but everyone was dark, either spooked or bought out. Then she did something she hadn't done in years. She logged into her real identity, Aubrey Bellamy, 29, raised in Baton Rouge, dropped out of Tulane after freshman year. Her father, a disgraced reverend. Her mother, a pharmacist who died from fentanyl she accidentally dispensed to herself. Aubrey had reinvented herself as Ava to escape that legacy. Now that identity was on the verge of collapsing, her inbox was full of messages from before she became Ava. Old classmates, distant relatives, even a former teacher, all reaching out. "Is this true? Are you the woman in those videos? Tell me it's fake, Aubrey. I always knew something was off about you." The story was already spreading. And then her burner phone rang again. She let it ring. Whoever this man was, he wanted control. He wanted her squirming. But Ava had a rule: never react until you're ready to kill. She opened her browser, tracked the domain registration of the .onion site. It had been seeded through a series of obfuscated tunnels, but there was a backdoor signature, something familiar. She recognised the script. It was hers. Years ago, she had hired a coder to build a secure, leak-proof vault. She'd sold it, once, to a buyer on the deep web. That buyer had clearly evolved the code into something bigger. And now it was being used against her. Ava didn't need to fight the internet. She needed to fight him. She accessed the facial recognition tool in her emergency stash, fed in the few unaltered frames of his face, cross-referenced age, symmetry, known aliases, bingo. Lucas Grant was an identity. But the real man behind the screen was Gideon Rake, age 39. Former NSA analyst, disappeared from government work in 2018 after being linked to an internal leak, presumed dead after a car accident in Nevada. He was off-grid for 7 years, and somehow she had fished him out with a webcam and some flirtation. Gideon was a ghost, and now he wanted to haunt her. She booked a one-way flight to Montreal using an emergency alias, Celine Dervaux. She packed only what she could carry. 2 burner phones. 1 analog. Drive. A false passport. But before she left the apartment, she found something taped to her mirror. A single Polaroid of her sleeping. Her real face. Her real hair, no makeup, no mask. She backed away from the mirror, knees wobbling. He'd been in the apartment. Recently. She checked the door. No signs of forced entry. She checked the vents, the smoke detector, the bookshelf. Then she found it. A small pinhole camera drilled into the screw of her light switch plate. Motion activated, battery powered, and inside the outlet, behind the faceplate, was a tracking chip. Her entire operation had been under surveillance for weeks, maybe longer. She ran, but at the airport, her passport flagged. Security pulled her aside. Questions, searches. Then an agent leaned in and whispered, "You're famous now." She looked up at the TV above the checkpoint, CNN. Headline, "Blackmail Queen Unmasked, International Sextortion Ring Linked to Suicide, Embezzlement, Corruption." Her face filled the screen. Not Ava, Aubrey Bellamy. She turned, ran, down an emergency stairwell, through a service exit, into the parking garage. Sirens behind her, security calls, but she vanished into a rideshare. Gone. For now. She changed phones again, used a cloaked line, dialed the only contact she hadn't burned, Caleb. A former client turned occasional collaborator. He ran digital cleanup for scandal-stricken politicians. He owed her a favour. When he picked up, she spoke one word. Extraction. 20 minutes later, she was in a bunker beneath a yoga studio in the suburbs, shielded from all signals. Caleb stared at her like she was a ghost. "You pissed off the wrong genius," she nodded. "I didn't know who he was." Caleb laughed without humour. "You didn't do your homework. Rake doesn't just ruin people. He rewrites their lives. He rewrote yours." She sat down, face pale. "He's going to release that footage in 12 hours. "It won't matter," Caleb said, flicking through his tablet. "It's already leaked. Your face is on Reddit, Discord, Telegram. Law enforcement's looking. You're trending higher than political coups." She stared at the screen. A Reddit thread. "Is this the woman who made my brother kill himself?" A video compilation. "The Queen of Digital Extortion. Ava Bellerose exposed." She'd lost. But then, a strange calm washed over her. She took a deep breath. "Then, let's flip it again." Caleb frowned. "What?" She leaned in. "He wants to expose me. Fine. But what if I show the world who he is? What if I publish his story?" Caleb raised an eyebrow. "You want to become a whistleblower?" "No," she said. "I want to become the victim." They spent the next 6 hours editing. Ava rebranded herself as a former sex worker forced into extortion by powerful men who blackmailed her. They wove a story around grooming, revenge, and trauma. They leaked it to a high-profile blogger known for platforming fallen women. Within 3 hours, the headline hit. "I was forced to sextort. The dark web puppeteer who made me do it." The world didn't know what to believe. But now, the story had two sides. And then Gideon Rake made his final move. He posted a video, longer, more violent, showing Ava threatening a crying man, a man with a gun in his lap. But people had seen Ava's version first, and in the court of public opinion, the first narrative often wins. That night, Ava's face appeared on a Vice News special, not as a predator, but as a survivor. 3 weeks later, Ava disappeared from the public eye. Some say she fled to South America. Others say she entered witness protection. Rumours claimed she was spotted in Portugal under a new name, Gideon Rake. No trace. His videos were removed, his site scrubbed. But his final message remained, "I didn't want to destroy her. I wanted her to feel everything she made others feel, and now she'll live with it."